Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Today, I don't know if it looks like I'm tired or not. A little bit behind the eight ball here on my game. Pray all of you will give me a little bit of slack. We had three of our grandchildren spend the night with us four consecutive nights. I remember what it's like being a parent.
Ain't it lovely?
Oh, I wouldn't. There's nothing better, but holy. You know, little Annie, she's not even two yet. She's everywhere all the time in everything. God bless my wife, because she's Michelle's. I told Michelle, fireball in my mouth this morning. Shouldn't do that, but I don't care. I told Michelle what I'm going to put on a gravestone is she never quit. She never quit, man. 4 days she was up. Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
Did you give any of them kids that king cake and really juice them up?
Oh, Pat? We cooked them up real good with that king cake, Dale. So that was all good. It gives us great appreciation for being a parent, and it's for sure that parenting is a young person's business. So hey, don't get me wrong. It's a memory. It's a great memory. But man, oh man, it has a tendency to wear you out. So we're back. I always have this fight with my family. That's not the right word. Not the right fight. I'm torn because. You know, I told you last week, I'm shame on me. I'm getting almost single-minded. When it's like I'm doing show prep 24 hours a day. I can't explain it to you. I'm just telling you the truth. I'll find something and I'll run down that rabbit hole, and then I don't want to bring something to you that I really don't have a basis for. And so then I'll be looking at something else, and then it'll lead me to something else. And then how many have ever heard this from your wife? Will you get off that phone? Well, That's me. But I want to make sure that when we bring stuff here and we throw it on the table, that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know and understand exactly what's going on around us. So we don't really understand the intricacies. Like when you're watching a football game, you don't really understand the game plan, but you know they have one. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes the game plan isn't going exactly the way that you would like it to go. And then you get into adjustments and they make a move and we make a move and back and forth. And that's what coaching is all about. That's what leadership and battle planning is all about. And unfortunately, our team, we have a tendency to sit back and watch the play be run and then get depressed because we don't know what our own coaches are doing. We don't know what adjustments they're making. So we haven't even had the ball yet. We haven't even had the ball. It's like Sidney Powell with Tucker Carlson. She got in an argument back and forth with Tucker Carlson because Tucker wanted her to lay out the information. Well, why would any lawyer lay out the information before you go to – why would you make public what you have before you go to court?
Amen.
Why would anybody do that? That's stupid, right? You wouldn't do that. I would never get ready to play a football game, and they say, "Well, coach, what's your plan this week?" Well, listen, we're going to run a lot of bootlegs, and we're going to run a lot of play action passes, and then we're going to bring in our Buffalo set, and we're going to run a lot off tackle. And when we get in our Buffalo, you would never do that. You just tune in the game and watch. But we see we have that McDonald's, we have that TV police show mentality. We want everything done in like 30 minutes. We want the story told in 30 minutes. So we go to bed at night. We feel good about what's going on. And so I want to address here real quickly. Scott Lively is supposed to be with us. I communicated with Scott last night. Maybe he slept in. Maybe what something happened. So we'll keep waiting for Dr. Scott Lively to get in here. He's both a pastor, not both, is a pastor, a lawyer, and a multitude of other things. He ran for governor of Massachusetts. And folks, listen, here's what's going on with Sidney Powell. Okay. I'm going to make this because I've gotten several emails this morning. Uh-oh, what's going on? Is the Trump, have they flipped? What's going on? Blah, 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 blah. Because Sidney Powell, last night, the White House released a statement. Rudy Giuliani released a statement saying that Sidney Powell was no longer part of the official White House team. And I was, oh, no, no, what's going on? Oh, no. Folks, listen. Sidney Powell is no longer part of the White House team because they are separating her efforts from the White House. She is going to begin to operate, for instance, instead of bringing a lawsuit or filing a lawsuit on behalf of the committee to reelect the president, or whatever it might be, she is separating herself. So now she's going to file a lawsuit on behalf of Randy Lunsford or on behalf of Coach Dave. And so they're going to come at it from a different direction with Sidney not attached to the official government filings. You guys understand what we're talking about here?
It's a civil suit.
It's a civil suit. It'll also be a criminal suit, but it'll be a civil suit. And so what we see happening here, in my opinion, Sidney Powell is going to say equal protection under the law, 14th Amendment, friends, 14th Amendment. If Myra Schneider only has the day of election to vote, then somebody in Pennsylvania can't get three extra days to vote. That's equal protection under the law. If Myra Schneider lives in New Jersey, which I think she lives in New Jersey or close somewhere up there, and in New Jersey, they say all mail-in ballots have to be officially signed. But in Massachusetts, they say, no, you don't need a signature on a ballot. That's not equal protection under the law, folks. This is very, very clear, cut and dried lawyering that we're talking about here, okay? And the big argument that they're going to have in Pennsylvania, and this will be fought probably by Rudy's team rather than Sidney's team. Rudy is going to say that in the state of Pennsylvania, they gave them three extra days for ballots to be brought in. That's what they're going to say. Well, that's not equal protection under the law if people in Ohio don't get three extra days to turn their ballots. And you understand what's going on here, folks? This is pretty much a cut and dried, clear cut and dried case.
And well, but if I may, it's a smart tactic. Trump is like chess. The fact of the matter, from a legal standpoint, it's actually brilliant because you never put all your eggs in one basket. In other words, you don't file everything through Fed. What if that one case falls through?
That's
you
right.
have nothing to fall back on. This is exactly that. They both mirror each other. They're both going for the same direction, and
that's
one
right.
strengthens the other.
One's in civil, one's in federal. You understand what's going on here? And so the idea, the point that Dale just made is if they put all their eggs into the basket that the tallying of votes in Pennsylvania when they got three extra days to do it violated Randy's rights in Oklahoma because Randy didn't get three extra days. If they put all their eggs in that basket and the court rules against them, it's done. It's over. But this way, Sidney Powell can continue to file on behalf of Randy and on behalf of Myra and on behalf of Dale. Civilly. And so this whole idea that they're trying to scare us by saying there's real infighting in the Trump defense. No, folks, that just isn't true. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, that's like having two All-American quarterbacks on one team. You need to get them on two teams where you can really, you know, they can both excel. I think that's what they said. They figured out.
That's exactly what's coming out. And I want you to listen. I couldn't sleep last night in the middle of the night. Excuse me. In the middle of the night, I was wide awake, not tormented, just wide awake. Wide awake with what I would, for lack of a better term, I would just call I great anticipation. Great anticipation in my spirit. Great anticipation. And I want you to know, it wasn't necessarily a good anticipation. You know what I'm saying? It was almost like the Lord woke me up and said, buckle up, buckle up, buckle up. Because if this is if this fraud is as deep as they say, it's gonna be some unbelievable expos. Do you know Sidney Powell yesterday, Saturday, one of those days, accused the governor of Georgia of taking bribes from China. Folks, she did it and said it publicly, that the governor was taking bribes. She said the Secretary of State and the governor had received huge kickbacks from the Chinese government. Now, is that true? I don't know. But she's a lawyer, right? She's not going to be saying this kind of stuff if she doesn't have evidence of it. In fact, one of the statements she made was the first state she was going to blow up was Georgia. Right? Georgia. So here's all I'm saying. Desperate football teams make desperate plays. They start doing double passes. They start doing reverses. When they have to score and they have to score quickly, they start to. I used to do it all the time. I used to do trick plays when we were ahead. I used trick plays to bury the other team. Listen, the deep states, they're fighting for the, they are all in, folks. They are all in. Now, I don't want to put, I got some room going. Okay, stay with me. I don't want to put Mark Trump on the spot. I think he's in here. He was in here earlier. Or anybody who understands technology. Friends, here's the way I get it. Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, or somebody else can correct me if you want. When it comes to computerized voting, computer communication, there is always a trail. See, a computer has to be told what to do. That's called programming.
Exactly.
It has to be told what to do. And in order for the computer to know what to do, it has to have been taught code. Is that the right word? I don't know.
Right, meaning it has to be programmed. That's correct.
Programmed with code that if you get in there and you examine it, you'll be able to follow the breadcrumbs of exactly what it was that they have done. And one of the things that's going on all across America right now is there are a lot of computer geeks in their basement who are diving into the actual data, the voting data, the public data that's voting. And they're able to get in there and they're finding glitches. Say, ah, look here, this isn't a glitch. Well, I watched a video. I think we have it on our website. It showed exactly how that same rate. Okay, listen, here's one of the things they did, folks. They programmed the computers so that every vote cast for Joe Biden counted 1.23 cents for every dollar voted for Joe Biden. And for every dollar, every vote for Donald Trump, it was programmed in as what? 76 cents. So even though Trump was getting a lot more votes, he was only getting 75 cents per vote. Biden's get almost a dollar and a quarter per vote, right? And so that's how they transfer the numbers. The whole, see, it's not in the computer code. It's not registered as votes. They give it a value.
Coach. So
that's how they're able to switch. Hang on, Mark. Tim wants to come in, then I'm going to come to you. Go ahead, Tim.
Thank you, Coach. I wanted to affirm what you said. All logs are kept on the devices themselves, and also every transaction is actually recorded and kept. There's no loss of data. We've got all the thing tracks are there everywhere. You just have to be a good hunter.
So what's going to happen, Mark? I want you to come in here in a second. Because what happens, and when they dumped 135,000 votes into Michigan or Pennsylvania, wherever it was, folks, there was no trail. There was no trail to where these votes came from. Just all of a sudden, there were 135,000 votes, boom, dumped in. No electronic trail. Am I explaining that right, Mark?
You are. And she also said that at the beginning of the election, all the Democrats on all tickets got 35,000 votes. My point is this has been three or four elections this has happened.
Right. That maybe Obama didn't even win, right, Mark? He may not even.
Well, exactly. The Democrats have never gotten the votes that have been on the screens over the last four elections. It's because now think about why. All right. The whole problem here is it's crossed the parties. There's Democrats. The Democrat Kent or whatever his name is in Georgia is complicit in this. His family received kickbacks. And that's what she's going to look at. So it's about the data and all that's there, but it's always been there. What makes this year different?
Well, what makes it different?
So, yeah, what I want to share is the fact that they've always had Republicans and Democrats guilty. The whole Congress is elected this way.
Yes, sir.
The same voting system put all those Republicans in place. The same voting system put all, they knew about it.
That's why Trump doesn't have anybody fighting right. for him right so, now.
So Trump gets elected and he doesn't know about it. Now think about it. All of those, Ted Cruz, was he elected with the same voting machines? Lindsey Graham, was he elected with the same voting machines? So no matter what, they are now, and she even said it, Coach. She said, we cannot go back and look at those prior elections. So now the real issue, what it all comes to is the swamp. Everyone up there knows about this system. They're all complicit. She said over 1,000 people had to be in place to do this.
Yes.
So where are we at? Root out. Destroy, tear down before you can rebuild. This is hard work. It's not going to happen instantly. And I don't know how in the world it's going to happen. These guys are so evil, so out in front of us for so many decades that it's amazing.
So folks, listen, folks, Mark, that's fabulous what you're saying. Folks, here's what happens. Take a candidate, and I'm just going to pick one out of the air because I don't know, okay? Ocasio-Cortez. Let's take her, right? So Ocasio-Cortez is running for Congress, and I think she's from New York, wherever she's running from. And they raise, as we know, they raise campaign funds. Well, here's what happens. Ocasio-Cortez, hypothetically, pays Dominion or whoever $75,000 to program the computers in her district to give her weighted votes. Do you understand this, folks? Do you understand Republicans are doing the exact same thing, that they give contributions to somebody who gives it to somebody, and then Dominion weights their votes? And so the reason the Republicans aren't standing up and fighting is because they're all caught up in this mess. They all know it's going on. Well, all of them, whatever. They're all caught up in it, friends. They're all caught up. It is. Do you ever ask yourself why is it that incumbents never lose? Well, the system's rigged. The system's rigged. They tried to rig it on Trump the first time, but what happened? More votes turned out for Trump than they were expecting. They didn't have their algorithms right. They didn't have enough of them, and so many people came out. It overwhelmed the system. It couldn't keep up with it. Trump won. That's why Hillary was so shocked. It was a guaranteed win.
A simple answer is your 0.73 and 1.23, 0.76. See, if they had done those algorithms differently, they would have given Biden 1.35 and Trump 0.67. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. The algorithms were wrong. Trump overpaced Hillary's election. He overpaced Biden's election. And it wasn't him. It was us.
That's right, Mark.
We showed up and broke their evil system.
So what happened, folks, in this election, the reason everything shut down at like 3 a.m. or whatever is because they're watching the computers. They're watching all the votes come in. And what did they say? Oh my goodness. We didn't set the algorithm right. We didn't count on too many Trump votes. We didn't count. So what they do, they stopped it and dumped votes in that there will be no trail to. Now here's a question. Will our government, the FBI, whoever, will they do the right thing?
Going to do the right thing unless we make them do the right thing.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Think about this, guys. Remember back in school when the teacher would give you a test, and sometimes when you got the test back, she said, you didn't show your work? Well, Donald Trump did the work back in 2016. These idiots saw they could fake it and then think we're going to ask for the work. Well,
Remember when you used to do long division? Remember when you used to do long division in the second, third grade?
I love it.
You'd have the answer at the top, and the teacher would say, we can't accept that, Randy. You didn't show your work, meaning you didn't show that you understood how it was done. You weren't able to process it all the way down through long division. You all remember that, right? And you didn't show your work. You know what we caught them doing, Vinny? You're exactly right. They didn't show their work. They didn't show their work. They just came up with the answer, see? Oh, my goodness, my goodness.
When's it going to be time to go back to Bill Barr's house and ask him when we're going to see the results he promised us?
Yeah, well.
Hey, Coach, how about a suggestion for Sidney Powell? We're supposed to have a secret ballot and a public count. We now have a public ballot, a public vote, and a secret count.
Yes, sir.
Everything is flipped on its head.
Oh, okay, so, folks, this is so critical. This is, if we don't get this one right, we will never have a fair election. I don't know if we've had a fair one in a while, but we'll never have a fair one again. If they're able to get away with this, right? If they're able to get away with it, we're screwed, man. So that's why it's so critical that we continue to fight and everything that's going on. And hey, Mike, I know everybody understands this, but I got a video here. It says the steal in 4 minutes. Here's a 4 minute video explaining exactly what they've done. It's pretty well. It's pretty well done. So if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and play that for us.
In 28 states.
Well, I can hardly wait to put forth all the evidence we have collected on Dominion.
Several days ago, Dominion came under heavy fire after allegations that their machines caused thousands of votes in one Michigan county to be switched from Donald Trump to Joe Biden.
Which is why Texas rejected using Dominion software three times, raising concerns that the system was not safe from fraudulent or unauthorized manipulation.
It was funded by money from Venezuela and Cuba and
I'm sorry, Mike, stopping it out. Folks, listen, it wasn't a glitch in the system. The system was programmed that way. Somebody just found it, see? Some honest woman in Detroit found it, said, whoa, wait a minute. Something's not right here. She did her lot. She showed her work, right? She said it doesn't work. Look, they took 6,000 votes from Trump and they gave them to Biden. Oh, that was a glitch. No, it wasn't a glitch. It wasn't no glitch. It was programmed. Go ahead.
Money from Venezuela and Cuba and China has a role in it also. So if you want to talk about foreign election interference, we certainly have it now.
It's a feature of the system that was designed with a back door so that people could watch in real time and calculate with an algorithm how many votes they needed to change to make the result they wanted to create.
Each voting machine is a computer running a computer program. Whether that computer counts the votes accurately, or makes mistakes, or cheats by shifting votes from one candidate to another, depends on what software is installed in the computer.
President Trump won by not just hundreds of thousands of votes, but by millions of votes. We have so much evidence, I feel like it's coming in through a fire hose.
In Antrim County, ballots were counted for Democrats that were meant for Republicans, causing a 6,000 vote swing against our candidates. The county clerk came forward and said tabulating software glitched and caused a miscalculation of the votes. Since then, we have now discovered that 47 counties use this same software in the same capacity.
We have sworn witness testimony of why the software was designed. It was designed to rig elections.
And the software development was funded by the Clinton Global Initiative.
That's what the Democrats do. If they don't like the rules, they change them. And they change them at the last minute. They manipulate them. They want to tear down our American system.
It is indeed a very foul mess. It is farther and wider and deeper than we ever thought. But we are going to go after it, and I am going to expose every one of them.
Installing that vote stealing program in a voting machine takes 7 minutes per machine with a screwdriver. But really, the software I built was not rocket science. Any computer programmer could write the same code. Once it's installed, it could steal elections without detection for years to come.
We've got statistical evidence that shows hundreds of thousands of votes being just put in and replicated.
In total, about 500,000 votes were taken from Trump and switched to Biden.
130,000 here, 27,000 there.
You can see how there's 200,000 votes magically for Biden at 3 a.m. in Wisconsin and Michigan.
It's like drag and drop Trump votes to a separate folder and then delete that folder.
Because you knew you were going to use those ballots to catch Biden up.
This is literally global government, the communist Chinese and others
want to take this country over, and President Trump has been standing against that, and he was winning all these battleground states by higher numbers on election night till they closed the polls and then secretly stuffed the ballot boxes. And so that's why they're scared of recounts. It's why they're scared of legislatures stepping in. That is their constitutional duty.
This is stunning, heartbreaking, infuriating, and the most unpatriotic acts I can even imagine for people in this country to have participated in any way, shape, or form. And I want the American public to know right now that we will not be intimidated. American patriots are fed up with the corruption from the local level to the highest level of our government, and we are going to take this country back. We are not going to be intimidated. We are not going to back down. We are going to clean this mess up now. President Trump won by a landslide. We are going to prove it, and we are going to reclaim the United States of America for the people who vote for freedom.
Release wow. the Kraken.
Hey, Mike, I want you to do something real quickly for me. Go to my folks, there's great videos at our website, okay? CoachDaveLive.com. Mike, go to our videos. I want to show people something. Luann asked for the link. Mike, can we put that in the chat as well? Thank you. Okay. Also, Mike, go to our web because I want to show you guys something. Scott Live is going to join us here in a few minutes, so just bear with me here a second. It's been good anyway. I wanted to get some of this on the table here on this morning. So when you go to our website, go to CoachDaveLive.com and go to video links. There's some great stuff, but I want you to see something in particular. Where is it? One, two, three, four, fifth one over. Bombshell voter fraud by Lynn Wood. That one right there. Now, Lynn Wood is also a private attorney who just got Kyle Richardson out of jail, by the way. Thanks to Mike Lindell, the Pillow Man. The Pillow Man donated $200,000 to bond Kyle out. And so did Ricky Schroeder, the child actor. He threw a bunch of money in too. Lynn Wood's the attorney representing him. But you know what really was, I don't know, Mike, maybe you can just go randomly about midway through this thing. Guys, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. Lynn Wood, listen, Lynn Wood's one of us. He's a fireman. Donated $200,000 to
Born Again Christian.
Kyle out. And so did Ricky Schroeder, the child actor. He threw a bunch of money in too. Lynn Wood's the attorney representing him. But you know what really was, I don't know, Mike, maybe you can just go randomly about midway through this thing. Guys, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. Lynn Wood, listen, Lynn Wood's one of us. Hey, Mike, Heath, can you hear me, Mike? I'm getting a delay in my ear. Okay, cool. Okay, so listen, as you get into this, they start out, Lynn Wood's just talking about what he's doing, exposing fraud, and how he's working with Sidney Powell and all that. And then he exposes himself as an evangelical, born-again, spirit-filled Christian. He talks about the demonic realm and demons are involved and all. I about came out of my chair. Mike, I don't know. Just pick anywhere in this thing. Scroll out to about the 20-minute mark. And when he opens up, starts talking about this is a righteous cause. These guys ain't backing down, friends. Just go ahead and play it for a second. Again, folks, this is at our website, okay? CoachDaveLive.com. Lynn Wood, you got to listen to this. Go ahead, Mike.
You don't hear about Sidney Powell on mainstream media, and you don't get the word out to the people that most need to hear it
right.
about the truth. So we've got a propaganda tool of the Communist Party.
Yep.
That's our media. Plain and simple. You say they're pretty faces. They are. They're propagandists.
And I would say this.
Look at who owns the media.
Yep.
You'll figure it out. It's communism. It's globalists like George Soros and Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates.
Yep.
And there's an element of the military-industrial complex involved because they're trying to hide the amount of money that's missing from the Pentagon budget, and they want to keep that gravy train rolling. Joe Biden is a criminal.
Will he go to jail?
I believe that Barack Obama was a criminal. I believe that Hillary Clinton was a criminal. And sadly, I believe that George Bush 41 and 43 were also heads of criminal enterprises. It sounds outrageous, but But I believe in time, the American public is going to learn the truth. God says every lie will be revealed. Stay tuned. Wait on the Lord. Every lie is going to be revealed.
Okay, Tim Redmond, what question do you have for?
Okay, you can freeze it there, folks. I would just suggest go listen to this, and you will be encouraged. And you know what is really, really amazing in this whole thing? It's not the government agencies investigating. Why? Because they would be investigating themselves. Is Bill Barr doing something? I don't know. Listen, we did all we could do. We went to Bill Barr's house. We prayed over Bill Barr. We took authority over it. We have to trust the Lord to do what the Lord's going to do. We don't, we can't. Anyway, folks, listen. I feel very, very confident that Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell, born again believers, ain't going to be bought. Did you hear that Lynn Wood just called out Zuckerberg, Bezos, Soros? Hey, folks, why aren't they suing Lynn Wood? Why aren't they suing him for having said that? Well, they're not suing him because that gets into discovery, right? They bring a lawsuit against Lynn Wood, then they have to open all their books and everything. Folks, Scott Lively just tuned in here with us. An attorney. Yeah, I know there's some amount there we can trust. Scott, I'm sorry that we've been at it, brother. We've been at it here for a half hour. And I got a hold of you, Scott, because I read the commentary that you wrote last week, a couple days ago, regarding this evil, evil system that we're all involved in. Scott, you having been a victim of this evil system, the lawfare and all that kind of stuff. Scott, if you could just come in and kind of give us a synopsis of what that deep state organization did to you simply because you wanted to combat homosexuality. You're muted, Scott. You have to unmute yourself. Got to click on your red microphone there.
You know, this is something else. I'm going to increase my screen resolution here while I'm doing this, just for those who actually care what I look like. And
You look pretty good. You look pretty good.
I tell you, I have not slept this late in the morning for a year. This has got to be the devil trying to get me off your show.
Well, but, you're in here now, brother. You're in here now.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, what we're seeing right now going on with this is a conspiracy of biblical proportions, a corruption of biblical proportions that's taking place not just in our country. This is the globalist conspiracy. Elitists from all over the world, the people that they're calling the masters of the universe, and those are just the ones we can see, the Zuckerbergs and the Soroses and all that. But they're all on the field. There's a spiritual principle that you know better than anybody, Coach, is that when you stand firm on a matter of truth, a point of truth that is central to the satanic agenda, and you won't back down, the devil has to put more and more and more resources on the battlefield to fight you until, and he can't take you out because you belong to the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
He can't take you out, but he can, after a while, the entire battlefield is filled. They're all out of the shadows and they're all fighting you, and yet they can't take you down because you're standing on ground that belongs to the Lord. And the only thing that the devil can do is intimidate you into giving up the ground voluntarily, right?
Amen.
When you refuse to give up the ground, you force the enemy to show himself. And that's what's happened with Donald Trump. I went through this, as you know, back in Oregon. When I was with the Oregon Citizens Alliance, I was the communications director. We had a ballot measure campaign, ballot measure 9, that would have stopped the LGBT agenda cold forever. And because of that, they poured everything they had. This was a state-level version of exactly what's happening right now, when all of the players, all the leftists that nobody even knew was part of their network, were all forced to conspire together and be exposed openly until they were all out. And it was unbelievable to experience and to watch. And I'm not talking about the persecution that came
that came later from that, well, some of it was included at that time. I'm talking about just the battle itself. But that's the other thing, is that you will get hit. You will take arrows from these guys, because
one of the things you mentioned in your commentary, and Mike, I thought I sent it to you. Maybe I didn't. It doesn't matter. We have Scott here anyway. Was the whole idea of Saul Alinsky's Rules of Radicals, where they picked a target, they froze it, and then they tried to destroy you, didn't they, Scott? They weren't happy just winning the battle. They had to make sure that you were destroyed, as you said, get you to give up the ground. They couldn't take it from you. They had to force you to quit.
In fact, that is the plan. That's the strategy they used all along. They find somebody who will be a symbol of all the like-minded people that are standing against them, and then because they control the public information systems, they then limit the information that people get about you to only the stuff that they put out. And they there's two things they do. There's the smear and the beheading. Right, the smear is character assassination to the ultimate extreme, reinforced by all the players hitting you from different quarters that don't seem to have anything to do with each other. So it creates the perspective in the public mind that you're a pariah, that you're a despicable villain, and that if you don't have the power, they can do that almost completely, right? So there's no one that, unless they know you personally and like you, they're gonna run the other way.
That happened to me in 1997 when I got sued by the American Civil Liberties for praying with our team, right? What the left did to me was criminal, unbelievably criminal, and they got away with it because they did exactly what you said, brother. They did everything they could to poison my image, lie about me, to get my friends to not support me anymore, Scott. That's what I was all about.
And that's how it works. And the second part of it is the beheading. The beheading is then they destroy you as publicly and as spectacularly as possible so that you can never recover. And that's what they do. You know, the person that they've been the most successful with in the modern times with that strategy, that who has not recovered, is Judge Roy Moore. Yeah. Right. What they did to Judge Roy Moore was the example of when you don't do something that's bigger than they can control. If when you can't find a way for the public to see who you are, to break out of the Alinsky box, then you're toast. That's, you personally can survive it because you belong to the King of Kings. But in terms of your place in the world, right, that doesn't belong to you.
Been there, hey, Scott, and it's nothing more than the lack of discernment, particularly on the part of Christians who can't see through it and don't understand it, right?
That's true. Yeah, but you have to have a pretty high level of discernment to be able to see this with people. Once you've been through it, of course, and you see it happening to somebody else, then you know what's going on. Like Warren Throckmorton, the reprobate psychology professor from Grove City College, I don't even know if he's still there. He used to be on our side. He did a video called "We Do Exist" about ex-gays, and so he was on the team, and somehow they got to him or something. But he flipped, and he went to the other side. And he became, for a while, his mission was to destroy people who were opposed to the LGBT agenda. And there I am in Africa doing a seminar, trying to help the Ugandans who are still coping with being overrun by the Soros people to destroy their example of overcoming the AIDS epidemic with Christian values. And in the midst of that, Throckmorton back here in the U.S. puts out this lie that I was over in Uganda trying to push forced therapy on homosexuals. Right. And then he from that point, he took the that lie, and then he used that lie and went to all these people where my articles were published and my friends in the U.S. and said, "Do you support what Lively said?" Right. So it was like a secondary. It was a lie on top of a lie. very devious strategy. And people started distancing themselves from
it. Yes, sir. Been there, done that. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So once you've been through it, you see that later on when David Barton, all of a sudden David Barton loses his book contract, right? It's called Jefferson Lies. Remember the Jefferson Lies book?
Yep.
Barton loses his book contract, and all of a sudden he's being treated like this despicable villain. And I said, you know what? I read the article about it. I said, that sounds exactly what like Throckmorton did to me. So I called up Barton, and I had never met him before. And graciously, I ended up having a conversation with him. I asked him, is Warren Throckmorton by any chance involved in this attack on you? And he said, well, yeah. And he was surprised. See, so that is what and because you don't know who all the players are.
Right.
Who are on the other team, right? They like to hide, like the Fox News team, half the Fox News team or more. That we thought Fox News was on our side, yeah. But when push comes to shove, and they had to call on every single one of their army, all the troops had to come out. These guys had to come out of the shadows and expose themselves for who they really are, and that's the hidden blessing from all this. Is because the enemy that can do the most damage to you because you think they're your friends get exposed for who they really are. And that's why this thing is happening today the way it is. And
okay, Scott, I got a lot of people want to ask you a lot of questions.
Okay, sorry, I talk too much.
No, that's okay. Hey, Scott, so how do you see this playing out, Scott? The whole presidential
thing. Win this?
Yeah.
I think this is a trap. I think this whole scenario where it looks like Trump is slipping and one by one, all of these creeps, Christie and Cheney and all, you know, a lot of them, some of them were never Trumpers anyway, but I think all of this is to create the sense that Trump isn't going to make it. And so all the people that have been kind of sitting on the fence that really don't like him, are going to come out and they're going to join the chorus, and that's how they're going to be exposed, right?
Yeah, and that's happening already, isn't it? It's already happening. From a legal standpoint, Scott, you're an attorney. What's your take?
I think he's got an extremely strong case.
14th Amendment, equal protection under the law as far as the ballots being extended in Pennsylvania and that kind of stuff, you think, Scott?
Well, yeah, I don't want to get into all the specifics of the different legal arguments that are in the court, but let me just take this whole idea that there's no evidence, right? That I think is the thing that's most damaging to our people in terms of morale, and that is and the reason not to worry about that is this: what they're presenting is the idea that the standard of evidence that's required for proving to the public that there is vote fraud is beyond a shadow of a doubt, right? Beyond a reasonable doubt or clear and convincing evidence. That's not the standard for establishing whether there is vote fraud sufficient for the thing to be audited or for the whole thing to be opened up and or redone. That's not the standard. The standard is the judicial equivalent of a mistrial, where you what you need for a mistrial is evidence of serious error or misconduct. That's all you have. You don't have to prove every piece of the fraud exists. You can't do that with conspiracies at the beginning. That's the nature of a conspiracy. It's hidden. So you have to have enough probable cause, another legal term people are familiar with. You have to have enough probable cause to do a recount, to do an audit, to open up the books. And they've got mountains of that, mountains of evidence.
So it's not a court. It's not a courtroom where you sit in front of a jury and it's got to be beyond a reasonable doubt. It's a whole different standard, right? Civil.
Now later on, when the prosecutions are being done, hopefully it happens with these people, then the standard of proof is going to be a criminal standard. It's either going to be clear and convincing evidence, or it's going to be beyond a reasonable doubt, depending on what severity of the punishment that they face. But
hey, Scott.
Hi there,
Scott. Real quick, what about the calendar, the time frame? I don't disagree with much of what you're saying in a court of law. I'm a lawyer, and I understand the discovery process. What is your view of the timeline that has things have to be done?
From what I understand, and I only know as much about this particular aspect as the next guy, but as I understand it, if they haven't got it resolved by December 14th, then it can go into the House, and that's not a bad thing for Trump. And
it goes to the House of the individual states, Scott. It goes to the House of the individual states. Yeah.
Right. Each state goes into the House. That means each state gets one vote, and there's a good majority. But I think we're going to be something resolved. I think Trump wants it to be resolved I want everything to come out in the public. The optics of winning in a House of Representatives battle like that is not as good as the left having to back down. Or that the Supreme Court actually says, look, there's been vote fraud here, right? And we're not going to tolerate it. That would be the best thing that could happen. And there's time for that to happen. These things are moving pretty fast.
Yeah, because if Joe Biden won, a clear investigation will prove that, right? I mean.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. This doesn't pass the smell test. For anybody except those mushy heads that get all their information from the corporate media, right? It's 30% of Democrats believe that the election was stolen, because it was stolen. It's obvious.
Amen.
How do we keep the pressure on? If the rats, if we don't keep the pressure on, we won't expose the rats. If you don't burn the beaver dam, the beaver house, the beavers don't come out.
You got to go to the streets, brother. You got to go to the streets.
Amen.
That's how you do it. You rally.
Like August of 1946 in Tennessee, Athens, Tennessee.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, that was an armed insurrection. Yeah, we've got to go to the streets, and there is a real actual plan that individuals can take, and small groups can take in small towns and cities all the way up. It's just a question, are each of us going to plug ourselves into that plan, or are we going to go out and try to do our own thing and keep fighting this fight individually and get the same results we've been getting for decades?
Yeah, well, that's right. Because I think that there's what you guys did when you went to Barr's house, Coach, that was great. It actually got some attention, and you got his attention. I'm not convinced that he's deep state. It may be 70-30 against him right now, but I'm not convinced, because just some of the stuff he's done in the past, like standing up against mail-in in voting on CNN against Wolf Blitzer, think that was that's a pretty good indication that he's got more backbone than Sessions ever did. I haven't counted him out yet, but look, this is warfare, guys. When the enemy has an enormous army and they're all on the field and all that, you have to go to guerrilla warfare, right?
Yes, sir.
You become the American Indians, right? And you follow the example of the American Indians and you start shooting from the trees, right? You don't stand in the field of battle with a big white X across your chest like the other side's doing. You've got asymmetrical warfare. That's where we're right now. We need to be engaged in asymmetrical warfare. Of course, our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. That's the scripture for today, right? But
amen.
We have to press in that way, be creative. And the main thing is just to keep the remnant from getting demoralized. So does that mean we don't have to convince the 50% or 70% of the population that doesn't get it, right? That'll go whichever way the wind blows. We only have to convince the remnant, who are our people, not to give up, right? Out of discouragement.
Amen.
Okay, Randy,
before I bring Randy and Mike, get the Alex at the Guidestones up for me real quick. Go ahead, Randy.
Scott, real quick, just briefly, do you think the 14th Amendment is going to be used?
I wouldn't look there. All of the tools in the toolkit are available, right? This we've never had this before. We could see things happening that we've never seen before, right? And of course, Trump is the master of thinking outside the box. And so it's possible. While it's on my mind, though, I know this is off the topic, but I believe that the reason why the Trump team actually sort of put that word out about Sidney Powell, Sidney Powell is going full speed ahead on the Dominion thing, right? You're talking about that, and I think it's incredible. But I think Trump, in his being the commander-in-chief and now having the ultimate smoking gun, I think that he believes that he can get more done by holding that back and using it to force the rotten players to surrender, right? Rather than just dumping it out there, and because I think there's going to be a lot of damage.
I do too.
If the extent of the damage is as far as Sidney Powell is suggesting, then it might be safer for Trump to just hold the thing and blackmail all the players into doing what he wants them to do voluntarily, right? Rather than creating a level of chaos that might actually serve the enemy more than it served us.
Scott, let me jump in here because I only got about 9 minutes left. For those of you out there who think we're crazy, and that's many of you, but our audience is growing, so some of you are getting red-pilled as well. I want to show you a little clip. If you remember, hey, Scott, on 11-11, the 400th anniversary of the Mayflower Compact, we took a group of about 40 of us to the Georgia Guidestones. We believe that's a high place, a demonic place, and we prayed over and took authority over it. That was on 10-10. Yes, on Friday, folks, on Friday, look who shows up at the Georgia Guidestones. Just play a real quick clip. Alex Jones shows up at the Georgia Guidestones.
When people build temples, when powerful groups come together and etch their commandments into stone and then put billions and billions of dollars into a project over decade after decade, you know it's their true love. We're here at the birthplace of the modern depopulation movement, spearheaded by Ted Turner and then, of course, Bill Gates. We're here a few hours outside Atlanta, Georgia, to the north, at a place where Ted Turner's great-grandmother was from. And they built this monument calling for forced depopulation of the planet and one world government. And here we are 30 years later. And it's not the planning stages, the beta stages anymore. Now they've dropped the hammer, now inside of it. So look at this archetypal image.
Okay, Mike.
First, look at the shadows.
Right, hey, Jared, if you would, Jared, make sure this video goes on our website as well. Scott, we were there. We were there. We held church service there on 11-11. Is that something? Because I tell everybody, we're fire starters, man. We go around
and we start
a fire. Right?
Now show them our picture, Coach.
I don't know if Mike can pull that up. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, that's the asymmetrical warfare. You are great at it, Dave. You always have been. And it's very likely that Alex Jones was clued in to do this and decided to do this because you did it.
Right.
And that's how you do it. People follow leadership.
That's
leaders
right.
Leaders follow leadership, right? Amen. It's because when you're on the battlefield and everybody's hunkered down in the trenches because it's so fierce, and then somebody pops up and courageously runs across the field and takes a new position, a new forward position, all the other people along the line that have been sort of waiting for a sign to move, all they see it and they say, "That's it, man, let's go." And
that's it.
You did. Praise God.
Amen.
And there's the super bar too. Malthusianism goes way, way back. It didn't start with Ted Turner's grandmother, not even in this country. In fact, The same people engaging in the population control agenda were behind, of course, Planned Parenthood and all that, and the whole eugenics movement that Adolf Hitler took to full fruition and all that. But to have a monument like that in our country, that's an abomination. That's more of an abomination than the Baphomet statue that they tried to put up in Oklahoma.
Yes, sir. Right? Yep. So, Scott, look, we're down to about 5 minutes here. This is a spiritual war, Scott. Very few people get it. You're an attorney and a pastor. You understand it. Scott, what do we need to do at this point in time in history? Because, brother, we are at some kind of crossroads for sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying is we need to be fighting asymmetrical warfare, right? This is the last gasp, folks, right? We've got, if in the next month we have not preserved a Trump reelection, then we're toast, man. What if, you know, all this talk about, oh, how we're going to focus on 2022 and 2024. No, once they're in there this time, Trump derailed their train right as it was coming into to the final station in 2016, right? And this whole last 4 years has been a reprieve. But if they get the train back on the tracks, they've only got, this is like Iran being 10 weeks away from having a nuke, right? You know, as soon as you drop the sanctions, it 10 weeks, you got only got 10 weeks left, right? But, and the same thing here, as soon as they get that train back on the tracks, you've only got a little bit of distance left before they go the rest of the way. And all this sort of hope that we're going to turn things around over time. No. The hammer comes down. The guillotine comes down.
The bottom line is, Scott, for at least 30 years, our elections have been rigged. Maybe even rigged down to the local level. We don't understand how the depths to which this thing works. But Mark Trump, who's one of the regulars in here, you know, he's a computer expert guy. And Scott, it's easy to do. It's a programming issue. It's a matter of putting a disk into a computer. It's a matter of taking a screw out of it. I mean, we know this, right, Scott? We know this.
Yeah.
If we don't stop it now, we'll never.
Hey, I've got another article. It's up on at scottlively.net. It's titled Election Fraud for Dummies. It's a video and an essay, really. Get that and put it out there, because that's actually something you might actually be able to have some kind of an impact with on people in the middle that aren't the remnant.
That's right. They don't understand the spiritual aspect of it, right?
That's right. But it's even, it isn't even discussed in a spiritual context. It's just election fraud for dummies is the simplest possible terms of how election fraud actually works and how they pulled this off. And, you know, that's there, scottlively.net. But what we need to be doing right now, we need to be helping the rest of the remnant not to be discouraged by showing boldness and courage and confidence. And, you know, even if the Lord allows this thing to go down, right, it only means that the prophetic calendar is on track according to his will. And then we just kind of shift our focus a little bit on preparing for the second coming, instead of rebuilding the republic, right?
Either way, we can't just throw up our arms and say, "Oh well, Lord's in control, Scott." That's what people like to do, isn't it? Right?
That's exactly right. We are players in this. We have authority to speak and act in the name of the Creator of the universe.
Amen.
And that's what we ought to be doing. And every time we sort of self-censor and we hang back and act like the left and the globalists want us to act like serfs. Every time you act like a serf, you make it true. And stop acting like a serf. Act like a conqueror. And you will conquer in that, because you're standing with the Lord of hosts, and he cannot be beaten. And the only thing that could that might go against our desire for this thing to come out the right way is if it's not God's will himself. Mm-hmm. If it's his will that we have to be punished, right, for the 60 million babies slaughtered and the nation turning away from him and abandoning the Bible as the foundation of our Constitution in constitutional law since 1947, right? We may have to pay the consequence for that, right? We have to pay that price. But we keep fighting as hard as we can until God makes it absolutely clear what he wants.
Amen.
And then we switch our perspective if we have at that point.
Okay, folks, listen, we're out of time here. I want you to do something. Keep up those imprecatory songs. I don't know if you've seen that or not. We're seeing more and more of that on the internet. People are starting to understand the spiritual warfare and how it works. And if you would like to do it, a second round of cards to Bill Barr's wife. Keep the pressure up. Come on, that costs 55 cents and a little bit of handwriting. Keep the pressure up. Keep the pressure up, right? The best defense is a good offense. Defense is a good offense. Scott, we'll do this again soon, and I'll send you.
All right. God bless you, brother.
All right, buddy. Thanks for being with us. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.